So as you heard last night on the Zone, Providence, on a three-game losing streak, came out inspired early. Creighton was not. Creighton got into a big hole, rallied back, but could never erase the deficit. And Providence held on last night to pull off the upset against Creighton. Second straight loss for Creighton. First time that's happened this year. They're on to UConn, which will be another good matchup coming up on Saturday at 11 a.m. As we do every Thursday to break down the Jays, let's welcome in former Jays. You hear him here on the Zone with John Bishop, Brody Darren. Butler on Saturday, Providence last night. Any familiar theme in both of those games, in your opinion, Brody?
There are certainly some consistency across the two, different complexion because you had Marcus Zagorowski playing in one game and not the other. Obviously both got off to very, very slow starts. Shooting the basketball was an issue for Creighton in both of them, particularly in the first half at Butler. Denzel Mahoney had a very good second half in Indianapolis, but outside of that, over the last four halves, three out of the last four halves, he's really struggled to shoot the basketball and getting that production from an outside jump shot perspective from the wing has been difficult. Obviously shooting the basketball with a team that is built to be able to hit jump shots is that was a big challenge and a big consistent theme across both of those games. The reality is these are both really tough, physically tough teams.
Mm-hmm.
And Providence, a little bit more physically blessed in terms of their interior presence with Nate Watson, and he did what he did. But Butler plays a slog it out physical basketball game, and amidst guarding on both end, guarding on one end of the floor and trying to battle that on the offensive end, it just seemed like, despite having a week off leading up to the Butler game, it seemed a little bit uninspired and mm-hmm. a lack of legs sort of underneath the guys in terms of just the overall energy level.
Is it too simple to say if the threes are falling, different story? If they're not, this is a beatable basketball team. Is that way too simple?
I think in years past that's been something that we've been able to say. We've seen this team win some slugfest, in the early part of the conference slate in particular. I don't think the teeth in the defense has been there over the last couple of games. I mean, they obviously were able to claw back in both of those contests and put themselves in a position to have a chance to win the ball game still. But for the most part, if you really look at the attention to detail and the level of effort that was extended on the defensive end in the first stanza of conference games, we haven't seen that in the Butler or this last Providence contest. And I think, on a night with your team that's built to shoot and make threes that doesn't, you absolutely have to have that to win ball games. And it just hasn't been there as consistently as they've needed to these last few games.
We look at a lot from, okay, what didn't Creighton do well? What did you think of Providence last night? I mean, it was, when they needed a bucket, they went to Nate Watson, and he had 29 points. But then there were stretches, and I don't know if this is an Ed Cooley team, even in their good games, where they will look ugly, but they find a way. I mean, they banked in a three. It was just, what's your thoughts on the way Providence played last night? Or was this more Creighton?
Well, they did a nice job exploiting what they thought was an advantage that they had, and that was obviously Nate Watson. The foul trouble of Christian Bishop and Ryan Kalkbrenner certainly contributed to that, but Watson's aggressiveness was part of what put Creighton in that position in the first place. I think Ed's generally done a pretty good job of identifying where he might be able to exploit something and go after it, and last night that was on the interior presence. Yeah, David Duke didn't get it going last night. They didn't do an exceptional job of getting him any opportunities. But it was made up for by their other of the two-headed monster, the other portion of that in Watson. the other thing that I think they do a nice job of is generally sharing the basketball. I mean, they had 14 assists on 25 made buckets, and they do move the ball well. I mean, comparing that even to Creighton, who prides themselves on a similar statistic, yeah. I think Creighton had only 8 assists in the game last night, 8 on their 25 made baskets. So, you know, I think on the offensive end of the floor, it was something that they had done well. And then, you know, on the defensive end, I thought Creighton had a lot of good shots. Yeah. I don't think the Providence did anything exceptionally well defensively. I thought they were solid, and they're physical, and they crashed the backboards, and, you know, that all those things. But Creighton missed a lot of makeable shots last night. I mean, you got a production from your wing players, you know, Denzel, Mitch, AOC, and Antoine Jones off the bench, and those four combined for 3 of 25 from the field.
Yeah. And you know, the foul trouble last night, and the way the game was being officiated, that would have been one of those nights that Epperson could have given you some fouls and some minutes, so you didn't get into a little bit of a hole. It just seemed like last night at times that game was just disjointed. And it, I don't know, there's something that I like watching Ed Cooley. I think he's a really good guy for the sport of basketball. It just seems there's a lot of games where Providence will make it very disjointed. And if you get lulled into that, and especially if you don't shoot the ball well or come out and play well right away, you find yourself in the situation of last night. We were talking earlier, Brody, and you and I have talked about this, and because of Mitch's ability to shoot the basketball and the respect that the Big East and non-con teams have for his ability to go get it, or, you know, you got to start guarding when he comes out of the locker room, the other guys on the floor can take advantage of that because it opens spots for them, either Mahoney or Jefferson. And, you know, Jefferson kept Creighton in the game last night with his 26. But looking at Mitch, we know what we've seen out of him and what he can do. What would you like to see more out of him that we haven't seen, especially in the last couple of games?
Yeah, this offense is so much better when he's aggressive. And I felt like in Indianapolis against Butler, they made it very difficult for him. They guarded him as soon as he crossed half court. They didn't let him catch. I thought that they really mucked it up for Mitch and being able to get opportunities, and Mitch had to become a playmaker or a decoy. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing. That may have carried over habitually into the game against Providence last night, because although Mitch, you know, he only attempted 4 shots, he only made 1 of them, is 0 for 3 from 3. I felt like he passed up more opportunities last night than he should have. He, you know, perhaps what had happened in Indianapolis carried over to last night with the mindset of, I need to be a playmaker or a decoy. But this offense is better when he is aggressive. And so, yeah, it's the same thing that's quote unquote plagued him at times over the course of his career of not taking some shots that he passes up. And I thought last night was a good reflection of that. He's obviously a great playmaker, yeah, teammate, passer, all of those things. But having to respect opening up the floor and, you know, frankly, just his ability to shoot the basketball, Creighton wants him to do it. And I think that answers your question. Yeah. We understand at times people are going to fully take him away. And I thought Butler did a good job of that. I didn't think Providence did, but I thought Mitch was too passive.
And we've seen him. He's got the capability to finish at the rim. He's not just a 3-point shooter. I mean, when he wants to get to the rim, he can get to the rim. But is there a point of he's very much an unselfish player. He's a team guy. I don't think it, you know, it doesn't appear that he's afraid to shoot the basketball, but how do you tap him on the shoulder and say, hey, you're one of the veterans on this team. It's okay to be aggressive. And I know you want to help the other 4 or the other 3 on the floor and draw that help side defender with the threat of you shooting. But, man, be aggressive. Take it upon yourself. It can be about you and getting us going. How do you go with that conversation? Or is he old enough, Brody, that he knows what he's doing?
He knows it. He's been around. He's had that message enough. Because it's something that Max talked about since he was a freshman, or at least as a sophomore, because of what the impact he has on this team offensively when he is aggressive. So I think it's, Mitch will watch that film today and probably already has, and go, yeah, I should have been more aggressive there. Could have made that play here. And to your point, he can get into the paint and spray it and finish at the rim and do things, you know, that doesn't have to just be dropping 30-foot three-point bomb. I just felt like, you know, he made one very aggressive play at the rim late in that game yesterday that was a key play. And it was, you know, you're kind of sitting there going, why haven't we seen, you know, that more of that over the course of this game, particularly when the team is really struggling, you know, as they had yesterday in shooting jump shots.
So you don't have much time to sit and, you know, think about this game because UConn comes in, and because of COVID, UConn has been off for a little bit, and they don't have Bolknight coming in, who was, you know, went for 40 in stores. Early game on Saturday, back-to-back losses, which is rare. It is January. How do you approach between now and when you get ready to face UConn again in a game that I think UConn feels like they let slip away? You went in there and took it away.
Yeah, it's a quick turn. And like you said, with James Bolknight being out, I mean, he's a very, very talented guy. We saw every one of his abilities at Connecticut. But, you know, Dan Hurley will have this ball club ready to play. They've gotten a lot of respect from a national perspective. They're going to come in here and swing away at a team that, like you said, stole one from them on their own court. They have good size. They have really good athleticism on this team, similar to some of these other squads that we've already talked about and Creighton's recently faced. They're a physical basketball team, and they will crash the offensive glass hard. So I think, you know, rebounding is going to have to be a big focus for Creighton in this game. And, you know, they have to push the pace and establish the pace. When we saw the pace pick up yesterday against Providence, despite, you know, once things started to normalize a little bit for them on the jump shooting, which it never fully did, but it was trending back that direction, it was coupled with the pace. And when they were able to do that, they were able to close that gap and get back in the game. So I think controlling the glass and pushing the pace are the two big keys for Creighton this Saturday morning.
No off nights in the Big East. How great is it to have UConn in this league?
Yeah, I mean, obviously came in and made noise right away. And, you know, Coach Hurley's just done a really, really good job there. You know, the basketball family that he's, you know, comes from and the pedigree and all of those things, reestablishing a winning culture. It's really evident that that has happened at UConn.
As always, I appreciate it, Brody. Thank you. Enjoy Saturday against a UConn.
All right, Gary. Talk to you soon.
Thanks. That's Brody Darren. Joins us every Thursday. That's good stuff. You know what? I've been told, George, we kind of talked about this. Brody was saying, was it last week when the weather was warm? His wife went out and played nine?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so he's a good golfer. We may he may be also our golf expert.
Oh.
Maybe we can continue that.
Okay, I'm with it.
Couple of quick things from the NFL as we get closer to the championship games this weekend. The Pittsburgh Steelers have reached an agreement with a brand-new quarterback. Dwayne Haskins and the Steelers have reached a one-year deal. And then also, Philadelphia has hired their new head coach. I paused there because there is Nebraska football news. So this has been a nice little flurry here. The Eagles have hired a 39-year-old head coach who was the offensive coordinator under Frank Reich. The new head coach is Nick Sirianni. Is that right?
That looks right. That's how I would say it.
Okay. So he used to be in Kansas City as well. So he has been hired as the head coach of the Eagles, and there is now just one opening left in the NFL, and that is in Houston. Will Eric Bieniemy go through another cycle and not get hired in the NFL? He has interviewed for the Houston job. That's who Deshaun Watson wants. Now, I will look at it from this angle because The angle will be if Eric Bieniemy goes through another coaching cycle that the NFL is not hiring minorities for head coaching jobs. I'm not complaining if Eric Bieniemy comes back for another year. I don't know what more he can do. If he can't interview well, does that mean he can't coach well? That was kind of the knock a couple of years ago, that he doesn't interview well. If you don't interview well, does that automatically mean you can't coach well? I know we've all gone through interviews and, you know, we're not coaching football. But apparently he's interviewing better. He's more upfront about anything that has happened in his past that happened in Boulder when he was at Colorado. But there's a history of coaches that have had to wait, that the right fit comes along, and then they get their opportunity. And maybe that is the case with Eric Bieniemy. If you think about, okay, what jobs might be open after 2021? Is there a better job out there for him? But now there's just one job left in the NFL. All right, coming up in about 15 minutes, Darren DeVries will join us. His Drake Bulldog team is one of the four unbeaten teams in the country. They are getting ready to ramp it back up again. They had a pause because of COVID, but it's really good at the Knapp Center in Des Moines, and D-Rock will join us in about 15 minutes. Plus, Nebraska has gotten a preferred walk-on commitment that I will tell you when you return on the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone.